Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Ezekiel describes the final war that will take place at the end of Jesus' millennial reign. The prophet Isaiah stated that men will no longer be trained in warfare during the 1,000 years kingdom. That means that all defense industries will become obsolete. The description of bows and arrows, swords and horses in the Bible makes sense because Jesus does not have an army during his millennial reign. Lucifer's massive army will converge upon Jerusalem with their antiquated weapons and suffer a colossal defeat that concludes with the devil receiving his comeuppance in the lake of fire. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm glad to have you here today, as we're going to be talking about the last war. And I'm talking about the last war for eternity. Not just for a while, but the last war, and for eternity, that we need more war. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that, Lord, you have given us insight, revelations from your Bible. And I just ask today, Lord, as I begin to share this, that I will be able to describe it in such a way that people will understand, and that, Father God, your Holy Spirit will interpret it to each person. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you got a Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. That's the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And while you turn to that, let me just share this with you. Wars will cease at the beginning of the millennium kingdom, or the 1,000-year kingdom. Isaiah was given a prophetic word that weapons will be converted to domestic tools and there won't be any need for armies. Isaiah lived about 700 years before Christ, and so the prophecies given to Isaiah, to Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and all the others, each one prophesied in part. It's like a puzzle. But they all got recorded in the Bible. And the thing that pulls it together is the teachings of Jesus in the four Gospels and the book of Revelation. So, Isaiah saw this here. At this time when he was alive, he did not quite understand how this was going to work out. So he simply said, "Thus is the Lord," and he gave us the message. And let's read it now. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, "Come you, and let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. We will walk in his path, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Notice here now that Isaiah didn't say there's going to be a temple. He said the house of the Lord. When this was prophesied, he was prophesying way into the future. And of course, Jesus, by that time, in the future, had come, paid for our sins. He became the last sacrifice, and so there's no need for a temple, but the house of the Lord. And notice that the temple that was in Jerusalem was not on a mountain, but it was in the city area itself. And then he said this, and he shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. In other words, no more weapons, no more armies, no navies, no air force. If you look on the outline, now, before we do that, I'm going to turn here to Revelation chapter 20. So we turn now to the book of Revelation chapter 20. So now we have established that in the thousand-year kingdom, there will be no war, no weapons. No one is going to train. There's going to be no basic training. There's going to be no soldiers, period. In Revelation chapter 20, and we read from verse number 3 and 4. Actually, let me start in verse number 2. And he laid hold on a dragon, that old serpent, which is a devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So, during the 1,000 years, when it starts, an angel would come down, just one angel. He would take Lucifer, the old serpent. He will bind him, take him down to the bottomless abyss, and there he's going to sit for 1,000 years. It is kind of ironic that the Kabbalists, they have their Messiah in the bottomless abyss, and they're trying to get him up. There is a bottomless abyss underneath the earth. And this is where Satan is going to go for 1,000 years. So what I want you to say now is this. Armageddon is over. Jesus has set up shop in Jerusalem. King David is sitting on a throne over the nation of Israel that have been restored. And Jesus is ruling over the entire earth. Of course, he's ruling over King David too. And now, no more wars. Let me just read this what we had in the outline here. The entire defense industry worldwide will be dismantled or retooled to reproduce consumer goods, airplanes, helicopters, ships for civilian use to be produced, including automobiles, trucks, farm equipment, electronics, and other consumer goods. There's not going to be talking about climate change at this time. And by the way, there is no climate change. What happened is that God has angels. Angels are regulating the world. They regulate the weather. And we've had cycles of heat waves, of droughts. Matter of fact, many times in the Bible, God simply sent a drought as a punishment. We can see that on Europe today. Many of the rivers have dried up. And you that are living in America do not know this, but these rivers, there are boats that go up there, they use them for moving their goods. And they are so dry that in one area, in Bulgaria, they found about 6 to 7 German warships from World War II that have been sunk in the river. And the river not dried up, And these ships are now on dry land. So, at the time of the 1,000 years, God is going to restore everything. There's not going to be a drought. There's not going to be hot. It's not going to be cold. It's going to be similar to the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve sinned. Since God told Isaiah that men will not learn war anymore, that means that the skills of making military aircraft, warship, tanks, artillery, rockets, rifles, pistols, grenades will become a lost art of the human race. We are building aircraft carriers here in the United States, and it takes 10 years to build a carrier. For the start, they lay the keel until they got it floating, ready to go. And I read some time ago that the industry simply said this: if we do not get additional orders for aircraft carriers in 10 years, our workforce will be out. And if they come back 20, 25 years later, say they want a carrier, we will not have men skilled to build it. There will be no one how to do it. So for 1,000 years, there's been no military construction. So 1,000 years and perfect peace, all this civilian production, and no war production. When Satan is loosed out in a bottomless abyss, he will immediately organize his fallen angels and demons to fan out into the whole world to tempt the billions of people being born during the millennium. Since no one is going to die there except a few people at the age of 100 if they are sinners, if they sin more than anyone else, so to say. People will live for 1,000 years. Women will not be limited like today. After about 45 to 50 years, a woman cannot carry children anymore. A woman at that time would simply be able to have children for 1,000 years. If she's 900 years old, she's still popping babies. So that means that there's going to be an enormous amount of people born during this time. Since Satan is not on the surface, the demons are bound up, fallen angels are bound up, there is no temptation. Thus, people born during the 1,000 years cannot be saved. They are simply ruled by Jesus. He rules with a rod of iron. And these people simply are not saved. But since there are no demons there, Satan is bound. They are controlled. And it is a nice time on earth. When Satan comes out, he's going to tempt these people. Just like you and I, we had to make a choice. There was a time when we were not saved, and we had the devil pulling us in one direction. The Holy Spirit came in and convicted us of our sins. And you and I decided we're going to go with God. We repented. We were born again. And we had a spirit that is born again. And then sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's a choice we made. And so today, people can get saved anytime they want to. But there is a temptation to go with the devil or to go with God. The sad thing is, most people wants to go with the devil. So let me go back to the outline of what I'm reading. There won't be time to build weapon factories, nor will it be skilled people to produce advanced weapons. When Satan comes up out of his hole, and he goes out, and he deceives people, And he get the, and simply the old line is, I can do better. You seen Jesus sitting in Jerusalem? He's running this with a rod of iron. There's no freedom. He's just simply saying, this is the way it is. And if you don't obey him, you're struck out. Me, Lucifer, I'm going to give you freedom. I believe in free will. You know, we're going to take that Jesus out. And we're going to have a better earth. The problem is, most people will believe it. So, he will not have time. Do you know how long time it takes to build a refinery? It takes about 10 years to build. You're going to set up a factory. It will take about a year to build a factory. But now you got to have equipment. You got to have tools. You got to have machinery. There's no machinery at the end of the 1,000 years that produce military hardware. So Satan realized, I don't have time. He's really stupid because he thinks he can fight God. He had a war in his space. He lost that. He lost that cavalry. And this is his last attempt. So he realized, now, I got airplanes. I can transport people. I got helicopters. I can transport them. I got ocean-going ships. I can transport them. So he simply decided this. We're going to go back to bows, arrows, swords, shields, and helmets. As I read this in the Ezekiel, I read it before many times, and I realized what Ezekiel talked about, what's happening, is real, because that's what they're going to use. Let's turn on to Ezekiel chapter 38. I'm going to pick it up and read from verses 4 through 11. And I will turn you back, put hooks into your jaws. I will bring you forth and all your army, horses, horsemen, all of them clothed with all sort of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Notice now, this is repeated several times, the weaponry. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters, and all his bands and many people with you. Be you prepared, and prepare for yourself, you and all your company assembled unto you. And be you a guard unto them. Notice now verse number 7. We talk about Gog here now in this chapter. This nation has been captured by Gog. And they are guarded. In other words, it is like the Soviet Union that had a whole bunch of nations under it. And these nations did not necessarily want to be under the Soviet Union, but they simply could not cut loose. They were guarded. After many days, you shall be visited in latter years. You shall come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Notice now the condition. The average church, or the most people in the world, pastors, ascribe Ezekiel's war here to, they make it equal with Armageddon. And they say this happened before the 1,000-year kingdom. But if you look at the description here now as we go on, you shall ascend and come like a storm. You shall be like a cloud to cover the land. You and all your bands and many people with you. Notice now, airborne troops. They might have bows and arrows and bucklers and shields. But that will be airborne, that will cover Israel like a cloud. This is the Lord God. It shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into your mind, and you shall think an evil thought. And you shall say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. That's not the condition of Israel today. They have barbed wires, they have walls, they protect themselves, they constantly have attacks, they don't live in peace. There's no peace in Israel, in Jerusalem today. It's a place of war and fights. So, this is what is going to happen. We now have going to talk about the supernatural defense. In the time past, God used Israel. They raised up an army. God was with them, gave them miracles. Notice us now. This time, the people living in Israel, which would be Jews to begin with, actually the 12 tribes, and then we're going to be also Gentiles, they're Christians, we will not have an army. There will be no preparation. Life will go on in Jerusalem and in Israel at that time, the land of Palestine. Because this time, God is supernaturally going to end it. Catch this now. This is the last war. Period. In Ezekiel chapter 39, we pick it up here in verse number 1. Therefore, you son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus is the Lord God. Behold, I am against you, Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And I will turn you back and leave but a sixth part of you, and will cause you to come up from the north parts, and will bring you upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite your bow out of your left hand, will cause your arrows to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall upon the mount of Israel, you and all your bands and the people that's with you. I will give you unto the ravenous birds of every sort and to beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall upon an open field, for I have spoken it, says the Lord God. Picture this army now, probably in a vicinity of maybe 10, 15, 20 million men. Like ants. And as they're coming up, and they're landing, and they're getting ready to storm into the land, fire will fall from heaven. They will be simply, totally annihilated. They'll be wiped out, destroyed, incinerated. This time, God is not playing games. There's no more games. No more time. They are destroyed. In verse number 6, we read this. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell careless in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. It's going to be supernatural fire falling. Different nations that have sent their soldiers. And they will realize Lucifer is not God. Jesus is Lord. Keep your fingers here in Ezekiel, but turn out to Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 9. And they went up on the breath of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem, and fire came down from God of heaven and devoured them. This now is the end of Gog and Magog. And then we read in verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. This is the time when Lucifer, the devil, his fallen angels, the demons, are going to be cleansed from the entire earth and taken to the lake of fire. What is the lake of fire? The lake of fire is a place created by God for Lucifer and his fallen angels. It's going to float in the spirit world. Our universe is floating in the spirit world. If we go outside our universe, the spirit world is eternal, has always existed, has no boundaries. So this is some kind of a construction that is called a lake of fire. It will be automatic. There's not going to be anyone running it. It'll be computerized. And when the devil comes there, he's not going to be running that place. He's going to be chained in a certain location. And the Bible says he's going to be tormented. With other words, God has earmarked a tormenting schedule that is going to be awful, and that will run 24/7, year in, year out, year in, year out. It will never end. His fallen angels will be there. He will pay, and the payment can never be paid up. Imagine now the horror of being separated from God in a place that is floating, just like our universe floats in a spirit world, cannot be accessed by anyone else, and that's where he's ending up. Now, let's go back to Ezekiel again, chapter 39, and we're going to read verses 7 and 8. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come, it is done, says the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. This is not to the end of 1,000 years. But the end on earth has not come yet. There's more to come. We have a description now in here that it's going to be a cleansing of the land. Verse number 9. I'm in Ezekiel 39:9 now. And they shall go forth, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields, the bucklers, the bows, the arrows, the hand staves, the spears, they shall burn them with fire 7 years. So after this war is over, it's going to take 7 years to cleanse the land of Israel, which today is also known as Palestine. 7 years. So that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any of the forest. For they shall burn the weapons with fire, they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, says the Lord God. And to come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers. And there they shall bury Gog and his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamon Gog. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and shall be to them a renown, that they I shall be glorified, says the Lord God. And they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. Flip over your outline right now. So we just right now up here to this verse 16. Jesus will not call for the birds and the beasts of feast on corpses and on the horses. You have that in verses 17 through 20. In verse number 21, we read this. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand shall I laid upon them. The 12 tribes of Israel will know Jesus as the Redeemer, and their shame will be removed. Verses 22 here. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore I hid my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. And then we read from verse number 28. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land, have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them. For I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, says the Lord God. In those days, the Holy Spirit would convict them. And the people of Israel, the Jewish, or the 12 tribes, will accept Christ as their Messiah. Let's talk about the end of the world now. Once the 1,000 years has passed, Jesus will announce the end has come for humanity to live on earth. And we're going to turn right now to Revelation chapter 20. And we now go down to verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. What I wrote here is simply this. Once 1,000 years has passed, once this last war is over, Jesus will announce the end has come for humanity to live on earth. Every living person on earth is transported to a huge plain in Israel where temporal living quarters are set up. These are the people that were not rebelled, they were not part of Gog and Magog. They're still alive. They did not go with Satan. And they are brought to Israel. And we're talking now about millions and millions. A giant white throne is built by the angels in a newly erected court building in Israel. Television cameras are set up in this enormous courtroom, and the signal is broadcast to each dwelling place of people that are waiting there. It is also broadcast on the intergalactic network to every angel civilization in this universe. Everyone now is tuned in. Just like when you have a matter on Earth, there's a war, whatever it is, all the networks stop their broadcasting and they broadcast live from whatever they're doing. This is going to be the final act of God to prove his righteousness. Angels are setting up food production plants that will make food for the people waiting to be judged in the courtroom. This is not going to take a day. This might be 100,000 years. It might be 1,000,000 years. The Bible says God is not a respecter of person. Every person will have an individual judgment. You and I that are saved now, we have had a judgment in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be here as observers. But this is for those people that survived in the 1,000-year kingdom and for all the people that are in hell. Those who are died without Christ are resurrected from hell with a body of shame that can feel the heat and pain but be indestructible. Keep your fingers in Revelation. Turn back to Daniel 12. I'm going to pick it up. Verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, and the great prince which stands for the children of your people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, as the book of life. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. The people that are in hell, that have died from the time of Adam and Eve and all the way up to this time, they will be resurrected. When they are resurrected, they will get a body of shame. It will be a body that cannot be destroyed. Let me try to describe it to you. All of you have seen electric heaters. And in the electric heaters, there's a coil. And when you turn on the electricity goes through there, and it heats up, and you can hear that coil simply creaking of the heat. But it's not destroyed. But there is pain in that coil because molecules are hitting molecules, and that once it heats it up and gives the heat. Think now of a body resurrected. It will look ugly. It will look grotesque. I mean, the people that used to be in Hollywood stars that, you know, they looked nice, they dolled them up and so on. They're not going to look like that when they resurrected. They didn't look so ugly that you'd look at part of them, you're going to say, I can't stand that. That's the most ugly thing I've ever seen. That's how their bodies would look like. But they would be indestructible. And they will take pain, but will not be destroyed. Same chapter of Daniel now. I want to read now from verses 12 and 13, what the angel told Daniel. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But go you the way till the end be, for you shall rest and stand in your lot at the end of days. The judgment at the great bridegroom judgment is going to be in a timeline. It's not going to be random. The first people that will come up will be Adam and Eve. The Bible doesn't say they got saved. I don't know if they got saved. But if they're not saved, Adam and Eve will be the first one up. And then all the people that lived before the flood, they will come up. Every one of us born at a certain week, a certain month, that will come up in lots. And so they're going to be judged, and then we're going to go from before the flood to Noah, and from Noah all the way from Abraham and up to Jesus, and then from Jesus all the way up to the 1,000-year kingdom at the end. Every person will come in that is not saved, or that was saved during the 1,000-year kingdom. Every person in hell will be brought in. And when they come in to the great white throne judgment, they will stand before Jesus. And there will be a video in color, and that video will be rolled on a giant screen. It will be broadcast in the entire universe. We're talking now about maybe 1 million years, because each person will get his time. As that video is rolled, it will show every act that the people did. We're going to get every murder mystery solved at that time. We're going to know exactly who shot Robert Kennedy. We're going to know about all the different people that did things in secrecy. And once that video has been played, Jesus is going to ask the court clerk, is his name in the book of life? Turn to Revelation 20 right now. And we're going to read it. Verse number 12. Actually, let me start in verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here's what I want you to catch now, as Christians. So let's say we have a person coming up that was not saved. They would roll this video, and then Jesus would say, you murdered this person, you divorced your wife, you committed fornication, you did this, you did that, you stole. Each one is going to cost you, just like you have a judge sentence a person here on earth right now. They have one count, two counts, whatever it is, and they said on count one, you'll get 5 years in prison. On count number two, you get 8 years in prison, and they go down the line. The lake of fire is not going to be one big burning place. It has compartments. It has different levels. And Jesus will simply say to a person, I sentence you to level 11. Whatever that means. And that means that you're going to have a certain pain. Another person is sentenced to level 19. 11 is bad. 19 is worse. Here's what I want you to know as Christians. I'm talking about Christians now. The people around you in your hometown, in your area, not saved, they're going to be here. the person that you purchase groceries from, you pump your gas at the service station, maybe you work with somebody in the construction, maybe you were in an office and you work with some people that were not saved. That's what's going to happen to them. And they're going to be horrified. They're going to stand there and say, what? I'm going to get that punishment? Oh, my God. And they're going to say, why didn't anyone on earth tell me? Why didn't someone come up and tell me hell is bad, but this is horrible? And we're going to be standing on the outside and we're going to see some of our friends that we worked with go down. And we're going to say, oh, God, why was I not more forceful? Why didn't I just shook them up and said, you've got to be saved? I didn't want to rock the boat. I just wanted them to make the decision themselves. You know, you and I are going to be heartbroken. We're going to see a lot of people that we remember that we walked around here on earth. Family members. But it's too late. And then after they get sentenced. So the sentence is the lake of fire. But then, according to what they've done. They are then flown to this lake of fire by holy angels that simply take them down to whatever pain level they're going to have. They got chained up. And then when they're chained up, the holy angel will leave. And that person will stand there or sit in the cell or whatever it is and see the angel leave and know, I am here forever. Ever! And then, boom, comes a flame on it. And then comes the pain and the destruction on it. And it's the body's just shrieking. You're just moving pain and you can't get away, but you're not destroyed. And it rolls over. And then you realize, I was the most stupid person on earth. I heard about Jesus. I knew about him, but I mocked him. Folks, understand this. There's no return for the lake of fire. No return. Do you understand the grief? Do you understand what my God simply said? I'm going to send my only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you understand now why Jesus, when he went up to the cross, he didn't fight, he laid down, he let them put the nails in his hands. He let them string it up on the cross. Because he simply said, I love you so much, I will give my life, I'm going to suffer here for a short time, so you don't have to go to the lake of fire. Amen. You understand that as a Christian? But we simply push this aside. We don't read the book of Revelation chapter 20. We simply say, oh, well, that's too bad. You know, they go to hell, you know, that's their fault, and so on. Think about this. The grace, you got saved. Somebody witnessed to you. Somebody gave you the gospel. And you accepted it. How many more have you given the gospel to? It doesn't mean that you got to be an evangelist. It doesn't mean you have to be a pastor. You can just talk to people that you meet in everyday life. It's going to be a horrible time. Let me read the last paragraph here. All the people from hell are judged and sent to the lake of fire. The Old Testament believers and all Christians have already been judged in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. They observed. We observed the trial of the unsaved people and those who came out of the thousand-year kingdom of Jesus. There was a sight of which Satan has sent to the lake of fire in shameful chained bodies. Those that were born during a thousand-year kingdom and remained faithful and got saved are given beautiful eternal bodies. Let me take you now to Revelation chapter 21. So this will take place on earth. God is not going to bring unsaved people into the new heaven. It will contaminate it. Notice now that at the end of the great white throne judgment, where the last person is judged, there's going to come gigantic spaceships, and they're going to scoop up all believers in Christ. And we're going to leave this universe, and we're going to move into a new universe that God has prepared. No one has lived in it. Satan has never been in it. It's a place that has never been marred by sin. And we read here in chapter 21 of Revelation, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He would dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." You know, up to this time, we will remember, we have our relatives that died and went to hell. I had one aunt that was very nice to me as a child. And I went back and witnessed to her. And she looked at me and she said, "Don't give me that garbage." She used the worst word for that. She said, "I don't want to hear it. Shut up." And she's in hell. There are others. What God's going to do is this. When we get to the new creation, the new earth, it says in verse number 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." At that moment, God the Father is going to simply wipe away our tears. And when he wipes away our tears, the memories of our loved ones, the people that we knew on earth that went to the lake of fire, it will be taken away from us. We will no longer remember them. Because how can you be in heaven and rejoice knowing that your loved ones are burning in the lake of fire? So God will wipe away the tears and we will not know it anymore. I want you to go back to, we're going to go to 2 Peter. And I want to read a couple of verses here. 2 Peter chapter 3, this is a bonus scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want to read these verses here to get it down today. "But the day of the Lord would come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also that works everything shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall mate with fervent heat," that's the atoms. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness." I want to emphasize this now. Many times we don't think about timeline. Peter was dead when John got the revelation that became the book Revelation. The Apostle Peter never saw the book of Revelation. All apostles by 90 AD were gone. They were dead. The only one remaining was John. John saw the book of Revelation. But if you notice here now, the precision in this prophetic word from the gospel, from Peter, where he simply said this, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwell righteousness. This earth will not be here anymore. The city of Jerusalem is going to be disintegrated. The land of Israel is going to be disintegrated. It's going to be dissolved. The promise that God gave to the 12 tribes of Israel will only last until after the great white throne judgment. Once we leave this universe, everything here is going to be dissolved. There is no land of Israel in the new earth. We are all the same. At that time, there will not be this tribe, this nation, that skin color, and so on. We're all going to be born again, believers in Christ, living in total harmony forever and ever and ever. There will never again be another war. We will live in a perfect environment. You can read about it in Revelation 21 and 22. I'm not going to read that now. This is what we are facing in the future. As Christians, we're facing a glorious period. Eternity. Unbelievers are going to have a horrible, rotten time, so bad that cannot be described. And their time in this situation will last forever and ever. So here's a concept. We that are saved, eternally happy. Those that are not saved, eternally unhappy and in incredible pain and torment that will never end. It just goes on and on and on. It never ends. And we're going to be in heaven. We're not going to age. We're going to have a beautiful resurrected bodies. And our life is going to go on. And we're going to have one glorious time after the other. It will never end. This is what God offered to the human race. What did Lucifer offer? Hell. Lake of fire. Misery. And most people, they like the booze. They like the drugs, they like the sex, they like the pornography, they like the sin, they like to wallow in it. And God's saying, if that's how you want to live, you're going to live like that forever, but you could have no pleasure in a lake of fire. Let's come to the end of the sermon here for today. So what do I want you to take home with you? Number one is this. Ezekiel was given a description of the last war. The book of Revelation tells us there's a last war, but there's no description, there's no detail in the book of Revelation. The Apostle Peter died before the book of Revelation came to John. And he prophesied precisely about the dissolving of the earth and the universe. It's amazing. This is a book of truth. And God simply, different manners, different prophets, different apostles, everyone gets a little bit here, a little bit there, and you and I are super blessed. We have it all. And we can look upon it. We can see the time. We know technology now is different than they know. We can put it together and say, that's how it's going to happen. But the main thing is, you got to get saved. And if you're watching me today and you simply said this, I am not saved. I have not received Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today is a day for you to simply say, I'm not going to take a chance. I might die of a car accident tomorrow. I might, whatever, I might not be here tomorrow. I'm going to confess right now I'm a sinner. God, I believe that you are there. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross, paid for my sins, rose on the third day. And Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Save me. Save me, Lord. And he will. When we finish here, after the last prayers, the chain, you will have a screen change. Three crosses will come up. And you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles Terrell saying, my friend, he will take 10 minutes with you and make sure that you understand what salvation is, pray with you, and bring you to a saving knowledge of Christ so that you can have eternal life today. So when it comes to the great white throne judgment, you are no way around there. You're not going to be judged there. You're going to go to heaven when everything is done and over. What about you that are born again? And I say this, I have people watching us. Some of you are gung-ho. I mean, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're witnessing. You're doing everything you can. You're living a great life for Christ. And then there's some on a scale, and then some that are barely in, and you're barely existing. Why not today simply say, I'm tired of being a mediocre Christian. I'm tired of being down on the scale. I want to be a top dog in God's kingdom. I want to walk close. I want to read the Bible. I want to learn this. I want to decipher this. And I want to witness. I want to walk with Jesus. Would you rededicate your life today? Take this afternoon and go through this scripture, this sermon again. Look up the scriptures. And then have a little talk with Jesus. And ask him to put some fire in you. Fire by the Holy Ghost. May God bless you as you're going to make a decision today. And here's Brother Thomas to close.
Father God, thank you for the word. It's not always pretty, that's for sure. But the word is the word is the word. So we thank you for continuing to gain knowledge of the word and understanding. We ask your blessing upon those that engaged in it. And we thank you for knowledge. Without it, we're hopelessly lost. So we thank you for the knowledge of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 79th part in the series, the origin story of Jesus and was entitled The Last War. The prophet Isaiah said there will be no wars during the millennial reign of Jesus, and men will not be trained in warfare. That means that all defense industries will become obsolete, and there won't be any engineers or skilled workers who know how to manufacture modern weapons. When Lucifer is freed from the bottomless pit at the end of the 1,000 years, there won't be time for research and development. The only option will be to develop a military force with simple weapons like bows and arrows, swords, shields, and helmets. Earth's last war will be fought using weaponry that dates back to the time of Nimrod, mixed with cargo planes, transport ships, and helicopters. Ezekiel stated that Satan's massive army will converge upon Jerusalem from every direction, only to be smashed by the armed forces of heaven. Lucifer's gambit reaches its conclusion, and he receives his just rewards when he is finally thrown into the lake of fire. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1874. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.